Hey everybody, it's Christina. Welcome to the DIY Musician Podcast. Today we will be interviewing Meg Vicar, the CEO of Symphony OS. Symphony OS is a new partner that we have partnered with at CD Baby. They help artists and creators put their fan base growth on autopilot through their suite of smart automated marketing tools. Their team has spent the last decade working with artists, big and small, independent artists, learning the most cost-effective way to target audiences. It's a pretty amazing platform because you can track your fan base, you can run AI-powered ads, and you can build a fun data list, a fan data list. So let's get into it with Meg.
You're listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Podcast.
Hi, Meg. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Everybody, this is Meg Vicaria, the CEO and founder of Symphony OS, correct?
CEO, co-founder, chief artist advocate, whatever you want to call it, you know, a lot of hats.
Amazing. But, yeah. And you're currently in Austin, Texas, about to do South By.
About to do South By. Best second South By ever. I'm not sure what to expect, but I'm sure it's going to be really fun.
I think it's going to be super fun because from what I've heard is the last few years have been a little lackluster post COVID. Mm-hmm. And now everybody is just like, who cares? Let's go. Let's have fun. So it's going to be a good time.
No, for sure. It's going to be definitely a really fun time. Excited to see like the communities that are out here. Hopefully just, you know, have my head on straight by the end of the week.
Are there any musicians you're excited to go see?
So one of my friends actually is my friend manages an artist named Asha Omuno, who's performing at a showcase this week.
Cool.
And so I'm excited for that. Just dropped an album. An artist we manage named Uncle Waffles is also performing. She's like a South African artist.
That's a great name.
A really unique name. So yeah, just like excited to see the homies, see like the artists on the ground. And even like some of our symphony community members are in Austin, Texas. So I always love going and like linking and building with artists that are just like, yo, I'm here. And I'm like, yo, I'm here too. Let's hang out, you know? So
yes, be a fun little totally. Week. You know, it's fun. We often talk about South By from the perspective of the artist and it being like this really chaotic, crazy thing, but so much of it is industry. And, if you are an artist and you're going to South By, I can't wait to hear your stories. I'm sure by the time this comes out, South By was a few months ago, but I want to hear your stories about it. Maybe you met Meg. So reach out. You can always send us an email, podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. But Meg, let's talk about Symphony OS.
Let's do it.
You are a new partner of ours at CD Baby, and we're really excited. Already so much steam has picked up since we've sort of integrated. I kind of want to know a little bit of, you know, a brief overview of what Symphony OS is and how it helps artists. Tell us the beginnings.
For sure. First off, very excited to be, you know, with the CD Baby family and help the whole community that's with y'all. Symphony was something we really built out. I want to say like it was an idea that evolved over the last 7 years and something that something we've really been building for the last four. We really saw this world kind of emerging in front of us where, you guys saw it too, because you guys were one of the earliest distributors in the game, but you know, a world where artists started to go around traditional gatekeepers like record labels and they started realizing that, oh, like if they had the artistic creativity themselves, that had the tools like social media platforms and distributors, you know, data analysis tools, they could really go out and try and build at least a lot of their career initially and the foundation of the career initially by themselves, and then walk into a label if that's the decision they want to go or direction they want to go with more leverage, knowing the business themselves. And so I feel like this world has kind of been being shaped over the last half decade, two decades, and now we're kind of in this place where artists are doing it, right? They're entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like building their teams, like CEOs, you know, very, very heads down. And so the way we see it is that, you know, in a world where artists are taking on more of this responsibility themselves, being both the creator and the business person or CEO of their business, they need tools that are credible, scalable, and help them grow like any other valid, legitimate business out there. And the biggest problem that a lot of artists, and honestly, even a company like Symphony, I'm sure you guys face it to an extent, is how do you consistently find an audience that resonates with your work, whether it's music, a product, a t-shirt, whatever it may be. It's very commonplace for kind of anyone putting out content. There's a lot of saturation or competition you're trying to, you know, chase after. So we kind of built that with Symphony is almost all the different tools that today's creatives and businesses kind of need to grow themselves using smart marketing. What I mean by that is, you know, traditionally the industry has been evolved in a way where we built a lot of data silos, right? Like your Spotify will have one set of data, your LinkedIn bio will have another, your Shopify will have another, your mailing list is like
so annoying.
Super annoying, you know, intangible sometimes. You're like, I have to hop between 20 platforms to know who my average fan is.
It's
the state of the world. And we were solving this problem as an agency ourselves in LA, just working with major labels. And so when we realized that this was a big problem, we were like, why don't we just build a platform where we could take all this data around that that's really valuable around an artist, around their platforms, centralize it in a really accessible way, and then build tech on top that talks to that same data set to automate marketing for artists and creators. So the way Symphony works and the way we envision operating over time is you log in, you link up all your platforms, you get all these different playbooks that you can use, whether they're paid marketing, like running automated Instagram ads, TikTok ads, YouTube ads, or even playbooks that are free, like making your own LinkedIn bio, going out and making a pre-save to collect emails, or even building a landing page to just straight up collect phone numbers, right? And then tools to analyze that data. And what we saw was that when we put this all together into one place, it actually made artists' lives a lot easier because they weren't hopping between all these platforms to understand their audience. And as a result, they had more time to focus on the thing that actually lights the fire in them, which is art, right? It's not like running some ads and hopping between Facebook and Spotify every single day. Like, it's like, create an ad campaign in Symphony. Symphony does the thing. I just go back to the creativity. That's what we envision, giving that time back for what really matters.
That's the thing that we talk about a lot here, which is that, you know, as creatives, we do have to wear so many hats. You often have to go step between the creative, the manager, the booking agent, the, you know, the tour research, the freaking engineer half the time. And so marketing can be one of the most challenging parts of that. And like data analyzing and all of those things, which are not why most of us got into this as a profession or as a love or a passion or a hobby or whatever. Like, I didn't pick up a guitar so I could analyze data. And that being, and you know, and like, I've tried to implement those things, but like you said, it's scattered over so many different platforms that it gets overwhelming. And when you think about doing the work, you get, I personally get so overwhelmed that I just don't do the work. You know what I mean? And so knowing that there's a place where I can just see it all in 30 seconds and analyze it in 30 seconds and say, oh, you know what? I have a top audience over here in Australia on this platform. There's this audience over here that's growing in Japan. Let's just start like pushing some ads over there or whatever. That seems like a really important and tangible tool. So thanks for building it.
Hey, thank you for the support. You know, we're excited to keep on building. It's, I think you nailed it though, right? It's like the world we're at today requires any and all creatives to kind of become like multifaceted, multi-hyphenates, even if they don't want to. But it's also a function of the tools that are out there, right? Because if the tools weren't built in such a fragmented way, then maybe the jobs could be a little bit easier. So that's like the philosophy I look at it through too, is like, we have a responsibility as tech creators to actually build something that helps artists and gets them to get their lives back in a way that they want to, right? Also educate artists if they want to lean in on why this stuff matters and how to read your data and things like that. And so it's a very fun place to be, because I think we're at this very interesting time of being an artist and being a creative. And hopefully we'll be around for a long time helping the next generation be more data savvy way more easily.
Yeah. I mean, could you share a little bit of insight about these tools in particular, like specifically how do artists leverage the tools that are on Symphony's dashboard to like track their fan base and all that?
For sure. Yeah. So it's a collection of four different tools that work together within Symphony, right? And so the first thing you do when you sign up for Symphony is you link up all your social media platforms if we can't find them automatically. So now you have one place in front of you, really pretty graph to see how your overall fan base is growing. We track it for you, you know, in real time, so you can see what's going on consistently. But then let's say you drop a song, you're like, okay, cool. Or even before you drop a song, right? So you're like, I'm dropping a song in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I'm going to do a bunch of promotion. How do I activate and use that promotion to build my email list, for example? Well, you can hop in the same phase marketing tab. We have a pre-save technology built on platform that lets you collect emails, names, fan data. It lets fans even subscribe to your future releases automatically, which is a Symphony specific feature.
Where do the emails come from? Like, where are we getting that data?
It's a fan opting in, right? So they'll go in, they'll opt in, like log in with Spotify, and they share that information. But it's beautiful because, like, you know, say you have that release in 3 weeks, you're doing promotion no matter what, right? You're posting. And so just throwing that link in bio from Symphony, rather that pre-save with Symphony in your link in bio, we've seen artists just do that and rack up 100 emails in that three-week period that they didn't have before. And then the day the song drops, you have 100 people to reach out to, and you can log into Symphony again the same day and create an ad campaign in 3 steps to target those fans and new fans to Spotify and listen to your music. And so in that same place where you're learning about who your audience is, collecting that email data, fan data, it's the same platform you're also going and promoting your content and music to find new fans. So it's really this beautiful kind of feedback loop we've been able to create where you bring in your super fans, use that data to find more super fans, and like that funnel just infinitely repeats, especially if it's instrumented consistently over rollouts.
That's really interesting. And I imagine too, if like maybe you're a touring musician, you can sort of like create funnels to identify which cities to hit, or you know, which cities to promote your and whatever, you know. I imagine that works in so many different ways other than just pre-release or post-release promotion. Like there's probably there's all these amazing audiences that you're tapping into. Is there like audience sharing at all? Is that an aspect of it, or like emulating audiences?
It's something we're looking at very closely for like larger organizations. We have a lot of like managers that work with a lot of artists that use Symphony. Mm-hmm. And for them, for example, they can actually share like Facebook data between their audiences. So, like say you have maybe 3 pop artists that you're managing. You could take the first 2 pop artists and share their audience with the last one. So you can target the ads much more effectively. Uh-huh. But we have a lot of ideas on where we can take this, right? When you have all that data from all these different genres in one place, we start seeing the patterns that are occurring for the folks that are finding success. How do we take those learnings in a scalable and responsible way and democratize it, right?
Yeah.
So say you're like an artist using CD Baby in Toronto, and we have data on like 1,000 other artists from Toronto and you're in a similar genre. Why can't Symphony be like, hey, we saw all this data from these other artists, and like 50% of them that did well did this specific configuration, FYI, if you want to test this out. So very those are the cool kind of insights where if we can centralize all this stuff in one place and really help synthesize it, we can hopefully inform the next set of artists on what to do with marketing much more reliably. And like a lot of AI stuff is coming on that front too, specifically to save folks time and synthesize data more effectively.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the AI aspect of it. I know that AI is like a very hot conversation at this time as far as a lot of people, as soon as they hear the word, they run screaming in the other direction. I think that was me up until more recently. I'm finally coming around to the idea that we need to integrate with the future. But also, you know, there's so many exciting things happening. So how do you utilize it with your platform?
Yeah, no, great question. And to your first point, I want to address that as well, because, you know, I've seen the same thing, right? Like, especially when AI came out, I feel like a lot of the big megaphones around it were touting how it like replaces creativity. It's like, oh, like you can write things now, you can make music. It's like that's a whole can of worms that the world and the people running these companies need to address and like really figure out a way to compensate or whatever, you know, the artists that were involved in that process, that training data. Whole different can of worms, not the space we play in ourselves. I think the perspective we use AI and look at it from is like, how do we take insights and intuition? How do we train something with those insights and intuition? And then how do we set that loose in a way that saves people time and saves them money because it's been trained with past intuition, right? So all that said, it's like, you know, I've been before Symphony. I spent the last 5 years running a marketing agency. So I've spent 5 years like on Facebook ads, seeing artists, everyone from like, you know, first song all the way up to like the Scissors of the world dropping their albums, things like that, right? And so all that institutional knowledge is in my brain. It would take me a lot of time to train someone about the same thing. But if we put the effort in to train an AI with that same intuition that I've learned, that information can help infinitely and be scalable to thousands of artists. And so for us, it's like, all right, cool. Like we have this intuition. We're going to be rolling out a very big AI tool, maybe around the time this drops. And the idea is that we're going to train a bunch of different AIs specifically in ways that save artists time. For example, you're an artist. You're like, I have $500 to spend on my next rollout, but I need to make content. I need to figure out how to do marketing. I need to figure out how to make cover art. I need to figure out you know, the rollout timeline. These are all things that I've done thousands of times where if I just sat down, we train AI to do it. You could log into Symphony one day and be like, yo, I need this stuff. This is my budget. And it's like, hey, we get it. You know, it's a lot of stuff. Here's a step-by-step marketing plan that we made for you using content ideas we pulled from the internet that are resonating actively, and also playbooks that are built into Symphony. So you can immediately click one button and start executing on this marketing plan. And guess what? We'll actually just run it all for you and show you the results in real time. So those types of things, right?
That's great, because the majority of us are not marketing experts. The majority of us do not understand the algorithm. I know that I did, you know, Facebook ads years ago, but that, like, the entire game has completely changed. Every single day it changes. And so having to stay on top of that while also trying to stay on top of everything else seems insane. And I would go nuts if I even tried to delve into it anymore. I'm curious, though, because you said you have this marketing background, and I just was thinking about how much has changed with ads in the last few years. Like, how much has that had to sort of affect your game plan with this product?
Every year, I think it changes, right? Even like my background. So like I came into music in 2016. Before that, I was like studying computer science in college. So like I came in right out of college as a tech kid, right at this time when like tech was like finally breaking down some of these barriers by way of SoundCloud and streaming services. So that era was like SoundCloud, right? Like artists were blowing up off of SoundCloud, and reposts and likes were the marketing method back then. And then it was like the Instagram blog era, and then Instagram ads, and then TikTok. And now we're in this like very interesting, almost post-TikTok world where TikTok, there isn't like one button you can push to reliably blow up an artist. We almost went back to square one, which is storytelling. Like we're back at a place where you do everything, but the story and the music and the visuals still have to match up to something that's real art. It's beautiful to me, because it's not like you just put things out and like have a silver bullet. You gotta just be an artist and like put out, you know, fire stuff. And I think that's really dope to be back at this place. All that said, the way it impacts us from a product level is, you know, there's a lot of tools out there that solve one facet of the marketing problem, right? It's like, oh, come here, here's your link in bio. It's like, cool, now what? Or like, here's all your data. Cool, now what? Or like, even here, run some ads, now what? Symphony's all those now what's put together, right? We can do all of that on one platform for one price. The way I see it evolving is the tools might change, but the marketing funnel has been forever. There's always a marketing funnel, no matter which tool you're using, to bring in new folks that don't know about you, to get to a place where they're sharing information with you, to getting them to a place where they're buying with you, whether it's merchandise, digital goods, tickets, whatever. And so the tools that we build across this funnel might change over time. Like maybe 2 years from now, Snapchat blows up and we add Snapchat ads into Symphony to let you grow your audience. And maybe everyone is like, you know, a new like email V2 comes out or whatever, and everyone's collecting email V2, right? So our like pre-saved and data collector tools that you collect email, phone number, and email V2, or whatever that is, just as an example, right? I think we have to stay up to date as technology and marketing changes, but the philosophy of the platform has been built to be so all encompassing. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but throughout the entire funnel, right? I tried. So that's how we look at it. It's a funnel. It's a philosophy that we're building Legos in. Artists can come into Symphony and make their Lego box set however they want to, but these Legos will continue to evolve and improve as we learn more and as the industry continues to change over time.
Yeah, totally. That's really interesting. I'm curious too about how artists can leverage that fan engagement through ads. Like what are some successful campaigns you've seen run?
Yeah. So there's some very interesting different approaches, right? So one thing I've seen is a lot of artists run ads directly to a song or an album, like using Instagram, or whatever. One little quick tip I found that works really well is running an ad to a playlist that you own. So I've seen an artist go on, they'll make their own playlist. They'll put it as a profile playlist or whatever it's called, spotlight featured playlist. And then they'll run the ads to a song on the playlist. And so, for example, one situation I saw was one of my friends ran a campaign, spent, I think, like $300. And the playlist went from 80 followers to, I think, 300, 400. And like that small budget, just like starting off testing content. And he scaled it up to like $800, you know, ran the campaign for 3 months, $800, went from 79 likes to I think 1900 likes now on the playlist. Wow. It's become their number one playlist. and their Shazams are going crazy. And now their other songs are also getting streams because it's a playlist that the fan is being sent to.
Right.
So there's like all these little like 1% improvements you can make that tend to have like really big returns as a splash effect, right? So like another benefit of that is if you're sending a fan to just a song, the only action they can really take is to like the song and maybe follow you on Spotify. Maybe
hope they listen to it.
Hopefully it's one stream. You send them to a playlist, for example, as just one example, right? They might follow on Instagram, might follow you on Spotify. They might stream one song. They might stream 10 songs. They might like the playlist and they might follow you. There's like 2 times more actions available for a fan to take when you send them to a playlist versus send them just to a song. That's 2 times more engagement you get.
You're helping your people out too if you're building that playlist, right? So you add similar artists or artists from your community or whatever to that playlist. Now you're giving them an opportunity to be promoted. Then also, if they share that playlist, that only helps build more network of who's listening to it and who's accessing it. So I always think that that is a great strategy. Like, build a playlist of like-minded artists, artists that are in the same genre, big, small. Make sure that you have a few in there that are larger because those will like help boost it. But then also have artists that you know will share it or that like need the exposure. Build it up. It's a win-win for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of beautiful like optionality that comes in when artists start thinking about some of these platforms from like an ownership way too, right? Obviously, we talk a lot about music and music business in the context of like owning your masters, owning your rights, things like that. But like own your like positions on these platforms too, right? Like, why are you sending a fan to just a song when you can own a playlist that could potentially have thousands of listeners, right? And maybe that becomes something that you use to boost up your friend's music or your future releases, right? Another thing, for example, coming back to the ownership point is because we're like so freely and transparent with whatever data is collected for the artist, we fully give it back. There's been some very interesting ways people have used the Symphony pre-saves. Tinashe just used it for an experience she did. So she did, I think it was like a live virtual session. And so what she did was she was like, pre-save my song and enter your email to subscribe. And everyone that pre-saves and subscribes gets exclusive access to my virtual show. But it was like the hook, right? It was like, fan, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. And I think like you have more of that data sharing very accessible. Artists can create opportunities to bring that fan artist experience in more equilibrium like that, where it's like, hey, like if you share something with me, like I as the artist will also share something back with you.
Yes, that's you also need very that interesting. Hook.
Exactly. It's been a very interesting thing to kind of see develop organically as a mechanism on the platform, just given that we built these tools out.
That's awesome. Yeah. Has there been any sort of things that you've seen artists try that didn't work?
All the time.
Oh, right? Really?
It's the nature of marketing, right? It's the nature of marketing.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to talk about that too. I think like we always love talking about successes everywhere, but it's important to talk about the bad cases, right? There's always situations where someone puts $100 in and the ads do not great, or they put in $100 and they're not getting the results they're looking for.
Right.
And the reality is, no matter how well we build the targeting, the AI, the platform, everything, we don't control the input. All we can control is the middle ground, right?
Right.
And so in those cases, what's nice about Symphony too is we give a lot of flexibility, right? If you see your campaign is not doing well, you know, you have a $100 campaign for 10 days, it spends $20, you could just pause it. We're not an agency. We're not going to take your money and be like, nah, this $100 is mine. Like, pause your campaign. You know, assess where you want to put it. And we've actually had artists use that flexibility to their advantage. Well, they'll run ads on 3 separate songs with 3 separate pieces of content and put $300 for all of them. And then within 2 days, Symphony will tell you which ad has the lowest cost per click, lowest cost per conversion. And so they'll like ABC test their music and their content because of that transparency. They'll pause the ones that aren't working and then double down on the ones that is working. And so, you know, I think the there's always going to be great situations, always going to be times when it just doesn't work because at the end of the day, we're not the one running the ads or putting in the input. But because of that, we want to be able to allow folks to make those decisions flexibly on their own terms and be able to also educate them on what a good campaign is and a bad campaign is. And then everything else kind of up to them.
I think that's great when you mentioned ABC testing, because I think as artists, we often think that we know what's the hit, you know, we think we know like what's the best song on the record or whatever. And then I mean, as an artist myself, I will say every single time I release something, there's always one that I'm like, I don't really like this song. And that's the one that people like and they gravitate towards. And I'm like, how do you like this one? I hated this song and I just put it on here because I didn't want to delete it. And so having an opportunity to try a few different things, say, okay, maybe you have your mellow song, you sort of target that towards your mellow playlists, your mellow audiences. You have that really fire upbeat like summer jam, and you make sure that you release that around a time where people are actually energetic and upbeat, but you also target like maybe a more fun pop audience or whatever. And then maybe you have that wild card that you're trying to promote, you're trying to get people to listen to or whatever. So I think that's a really cool feature. I mean, it's not a feature, it's just a strategy, right? Is like put as many octopus tentacles out there. Is that what I wanted to say? I don't know.
Put as many. We're, with it.
We're gonna put all our other legs out there, see what sticks, and then use that information to help build the next strategy. So you build, you start with campaign A, and then by campaign B, you're a little smarter. By campaign C, you're a pro. By campaign D, you and your AI friends are just freaking pumping out ads, right?
Of course. That's the intention, right? And the beautiful part about it is if you set up Symphony like using kind of our best practices, it learns over time, right? So like that first campaign, that budget is like just learning your audience. But by the fourth campaign, all of that money you spent the entire way has improved the algorithm enough that you're going to get better results from day one on that fourth campaign. So that's one thing too that's interesting, is that all that insight kind of compounds like anything else does. And to your point too earlier, like, yeah, like fans pick the singles nowadays, right? It's a very different perspective. It was always so interesting to me because we'd work with like very large major labels and very large major label artists, and they would have the current philosophy around a lot of these rollouts is very major label inspired, right? Which it doesn't have to fit for independent artists. Major labels always have been like, hey, we're going to sign you to a 3 to 5 album deal, most likely. We're going to give you a budget for every single album. This is, you know, obviously deals change over time, but historically, 3 to 5 whatever albums. We're going to give you a budget for every album. And then we're going to spend the budget like this. Single, single, music video, album, music video, done. On to the next one. You have 3 more albums to fulfill before you're out of your recording contract. Yikes. Major label mindset. And it was frustrating because we would have situations where we would be following that playbook for these labels, and we would see a song off the album resonating way more than the singles were.
Or the video,
but
or whatever.
But the budget allocation was still for that single. So folks would look at the data and be like, no, the data is actually fully wrong, even though there's thousands of people telling us this is the right decision. So when I talk to independent artists, I actually look at it from a very different perspective. Like, you could still follow that rollout strategy. Obviously, it makes sense to capture momentum. I see a lot of artists putting out singles for like months straight, which is also amazing. Every single time you put something out, it's like a new set of ammo almost to gather new fans. But because we get so much data back, right? Like Spotify, for example, if you log into Spotify for artists, every single one of your songs will have a save rate, like number of saves on it, number of listeners, number of streams. So we devise some metrics, for example, the stickiness ratio, which is, you know, back in the day, they used to say the song has earworm, right? You listen to a song on the radio, it's stuck in your head all day. That still exists. It's just called something different on Spotify. It's how many streams on average did one listener listen to your song for? If you divide streams by listeners, we've seen songs have a 4 to 5x stream listener ratio, which means the average listener is streaming it 4 times. Very sticky song. That's probably a song you want to market, even if it's 2. Right? Same with the save rate. It's like you got 50 saves out of 100 people listening, 50% save rate, but this song might have 10 saves out of 100 people listening, which means the other song is 5 times more likely to get saved than the other song. So these little metrics that Spotify gives you, I think a lot of folks look at them at a very high level because it's nice to look at, obviously. But when you look at these metrics as a way to justify and understand where to market, you might find that a record that is years old is actually outperforming recently. And the way that large numbers work, right? Instagram has 1 billion users. Facebook has 1 billion users. So does TikTok. Spotify has like 400 million listeners. You could market one of these songs for 10 years straight and never top out on finding new listeners.
Yeah.
It's just about finding the one that resonates and just doubling down consistently.
I love that. And I also really love the perspective that we're not, I mean, as independent artists, we're not subject to a major label schedule when it comes to promo. The idea of the album cycle, the 1 year, 2 year album cycle really no longer exists. Chances are you put out a record this March and by next March, you've met double the amount of people that still haven't even heard the first record, right? So continuously trying to sort of promote older work is something that we need to be valuing more, because especially with how much everything is oversaturated in the market these days, especially with how many albums are dropping every day, how many singles are dropping every day, like to make a splash in the bucket it takes a little heart. It takes more work now, right? These tools exist to like make a larger splash, but it doesn't mean that it's a long lasting one. So creating opportunities to bring traffic back to previous work is very important. And I think that a lot of times on this podcast and in general, we talk about pre-release promotion, but we don't talk about post-release promotion enough, about how do you keep the buzz for something that maybe you've emotionally moved on from, because by the time you've put out a record or you've put out a single, you've usually worked on it for so long that you're like over it, you're ready for the next thing. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't give it its time and its due, you know?
I feel the same way, honestly, on a very funny analogy on like the feature side, right? We'll be building like a cool feature and I'll be looking at it for 6 months before it comes out. By the time it's out, it's like,
now it's marketing. Ready for the next.
Exactly. I fully resonate with that. I think like there's always going to be the work you do pre-promotion to like get your fans hyped. And then like the post-promotion is actually harder to figure out than the pre-promotion, right? Because you can time box pre-promotion, but then you could be like dropping and never know when to stop marketing. I think that's when some of this data comes into play as well. Like if you don't see, if you run some ads or you try and promote it organically through just content and you're not seeing the resonance pick up over time, maybe it's time to move on to the next release and market that one. I also think this, the world has very much put artists in this place where it's made them feel like every song has to have marketing budget behind it. I don't think that's true. I think marketing and ads are like marketing is one thing and ads is a subset of marketing, but not every song is an ad song, right? Like you might have a really beautiful ballad, deep cut that just won't work well for ads given how people consume ads, but maybe organic content around it resonates more at home, right? So that's one thing too I want to point out, is like some of these things are just very like fluid because it is art we're marketing at the end of the day. But when you have some of the data telling you what's working, it's obviously helpful, but try things out, see what works, see what sticks, see what doesn't stick, and be okay with also just putting things out for the art of it and not the business of it, you know?
Amen. Well, with that, I wanted to say that we do have this partnership. So will you tell us a little bit about how this partnership works between CD Baby and Symphony?
For sure. Yeah. So we've been tapped in with the amazing CD Baby team for like, I think almost a year now, and just launched this partnership with y'all. But basically it gives any CD Baby artist a 25% discount on our platform. Symphony is only $20 a month. But anyone that signs up through the CD Baby portal, it's $15 a month for your first year. So really inexpensive. Like we're trying to just make these tools affordable as possible. And obviously CD Baby has rich history and, you know, a lot of time in this space helping artists. So excited to kind of come together and hopefully help the next generation with all these tools.
Absolutely. You can find all this information in your CD Baby dashboard if you are a user. If you're not a user already, go ahead and create an account. You'll find that information in there. I don't even know that you have to have a single signed up, but don't quote me on that, to be able to access this discount. So just create an account. But this has been awesome. I actually am really excited that we had this conversation, because I think sometimes when I'm reading this stuff, I just like don't fully comprehend it. But then hearing you talk about it, you've made it really accessible and really easy to understand. It's just a tool. It's another thing that you'll have a tool in your tool belt that'll help you create and market and push. And like you said, like take a break from trying to be everyone all at once and just it's a very easy thing. It's like online banking to me at this point, you know, like, why have we done it the other way? Like, why would I ever sit down with a checkbook and try to like create a ledger at this point, you know, like
fully
going from analog to completely, we're in the future. So I'm very excited by this plot by Symphony.
I love that. It's also just like, you know, I was always surprised that people didn't look at artists like in the same way they look to other businesses, right? Like historically speaking, I think it's a very recent phenomenon. We have all these creator tools coming out. But you know, like a business like Symphony, we have like, we're a startup, right? We have like all these wild tools for every piece of our business, marketing, finance, productivity, development, right? Then you talk to artists who, there's millions of artists out there literally all over the world that are going after it as a career. And it's like, oh, well, here's like this piece of tech and then this piece of tech. And then like no one else is really building that much. So I think too, our perspective is like, these are legitimate businesses, right? Like a kid at home dropping a song is just as legitimate of a business as Symphony doing what we do. It really is. But we have to really focus with that perspective and build technology from that perspective to really make it resonate. So that's like kind of how we look at it too, is, you know, our friends are artists, you know, all of our homies are artists and managers. They should have cool tools like I use as a tech CEO, you know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It, to me, it's like pulling the veil away of like demystifying tech and demystifying data in this way that's really tangible. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast, telling us about it. I'm really excited to see how everybody interacts with this. Feel free to send us an email, podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. Let us know how this has been going for you, and we'll collect that info and share it. Also, I'll send it to you, Meg, see how people respond.
Please. I hope it resonates, you know. And I'm always also very accessible. Meg@symphony.to if you want to like share that somewhere as well. Always love talking to, you know, artists, creatives, producers, whatever. Because that's the only way we improve too, right? It's like someone has a great experience, they tell us. Someone has a terrible experience, they should also tell us. You know, we want to hear about that so we can like learn and get better. So thank you so much for having me. This is a really fun
combo. You. All right. Well, I hope you have a great weekend or a great week at South By. You shake all the hands.
All right. Gonna try. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you too. All right. And that concludes this episode. We'll be right back.